Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. What do blue bloods, broken vows, and bruised egos all have in common? Well, once upon a time, they were all described by the word generous. Today we think of generous and generosity as kindness, the open hand, the giving spirit, the willingness to share. But for Uncle William, generous begins somewhere else entirely. In his Love's Labor's Lost, Uncle Will uses the word twice in Act 5, and in doing so, quietly walks it from birthright to behavior. Same word, two meanings, one play. By Act 5 of Love's Labors, the grand experiment has failed spectacularly. The King of Navarre and his noble companions swore off women, pleasure, and distraction in pursuit of intellectual purity. And, as it's a comedy, almost immediately, that collapses under the weight of their own attraction to the Princess of France and her ladies. They've written sonnets, disguised themselves, been mocked mercilessly, even amongst themselves. In the first scene, Holofernes and Armado duel with dictionaries, mistaking verbosity for brilliance. Even as they descend into talk of the posterior of the day, they lace their nonsense with courtly flattery, calling Armado most generous sir, where generous still means high-born, not kind, proving that rank, like rhetoric, can be invoked even when what they are joking about is rather base.
It is the king's most sweet pleasure and affection to congratulate the princess at her pavilion in the posteriors of this day, which the rude multitude call the afternoon.
The posterior of the day, most generous sir, is liable, congruent, and measurable for the afternoon. The word is well culled, chose, sweet, and apt. I do assure you, sir, I do assure.
Generous here carries its older meaning, high-born, noble by lineage. The word comes from the Latin generosus, of noble birth, from genus, meaning race, stock, or family. To be generous was not yet about giving, it was about where you came from. But then Will shifts the weight of the word. Generous is no longer inherited, it is earned. It becomes more about behavior, in contrast to the deeply immature japing amongst the men. The scholar's lofty language collapses into playground punning, as Costard turns the name Judas into little more than Jude an ass, which is not seen as being very generous.
Adieu, sweet Jude! Nay, why dost thou stay? For the latter end of his name!
For the ass to the Jude, give it him, Jude ass, away.
This is not generous, not gentle, not humble.
Now, generosity means largeness of spirit, restraint, patience, mercy. The women demand that the men become generous, not by title, but by action. And in that moment, the word steps into the modern world. Across the 17th and 18th centuries, generous continued this transformation, shedding aristocracy and gaining ethics. By the time we use it today, generosity has nothing to do with pedigree and everything to do with choice. Our fair uncle doesn't just record that shift, he stages it, seeming to suggest that true generosity isn't what you're born into, it's what you grow into. When pride, a deadly sin, by the way, finally loosens its grip. You see, blood may make you part of a noble and even aristocratic race, but generosity makes you part of the human race. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell, until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.